A very good day to all of you, and welcome back to this subject on managing IT projects. Our previous chapter covered project risk management, and today we are going to start a journey into understanding chapter 7, which is on understanding how to track and monitor IT projects. Okay, so what is the learning objectives of this chapter? We are going to try and learn to understand the purpose of tracking. What are tracking needs? What could be the role of metrics in tracking? How can we use these metrics to improve the outcomes as a result of tracking? Then we will discuss some of the methods of tracking and the outcomes of tracking. So this is the broad objective with which we are going to journey into this subject of project tracking. But before that, we must understand what is project tracking. By definition, tracking a project typically means trying to understand the progress of the progress that the project has made vis-a-vis the plan. At the beginning of the project, when we started out, we had made a certain project plan with certain milestones in terms of costs, in terms of times. And the tracking mechanism is trying to understand what have we achieved vis-a-vis what was planned on these two parameters. Now, primarily, The tracking is done to understand if we are on course as far as the implementation is concerned. And we also like to try to see what could be, is our planning correct and how far our planning has been accurate versus the actuals. Okay. Now, if there is a deviation in the tracking, when we do a tracking analysis, if there is a deviation in the project achievement or in the implementation of that, we want to know what could be the cause of this deviation, and more importantly, we want to know what can be done to put the project back on track to achieve its desired outcome. So why do we track projects? Now we of course track projects to understand when the project plan was developed, which is a roadmap for the project implementation, and the tracking is a mechanism where we periodically sit back and check how we are moving on that road. On the road that we have laid out for the implementation of the plan, where are we and how are we moving on that road? The basic logic is, why create a roadmap if we do not intend to follow it? And if we are following it, why do you want to spend time doing tracking? So these are the two, opposing objectives that are there in the tracking mechanism. That one, if I'm not going to follow what I have laid down, there is no use of tracking. And if I'm following exactly what has been put in the plan, then why do I need to review? Because everything should be as per schedule. Now, the purpose of tracking. Tracking helps us to evaluate the status of each and every task and each and every activity and compares it to the schedule or the plan. So what do we get to do as a result of the analysis? We know planned versus actual as a result of this tracking. We also tend to get a review or judge the progress that we have made since the last review meeting. So every review that we have of the project allows us to judge what progress we have made from the last review meeting to the next review meeting. As we progress into the implementation, at every review meeting, we define what is called the asking rate. Now, there is a achieve rate of project implementation, and there is a balance part of the project that is left. To complete that balance part of the project in the defined timeline, what will be the asking rate for doing the project in the future so that it is completed within the desired defined time period. Okay? So tracking therefore helps us to track the critical items identified during the previous periods and to focus our attention on this going forward into the implementation of the project. Now, tasks which were pending during the previous period or phase are again checked and verified during the subsequent tracking meeting or review meetings. The objective again is to ensure that what was undone or what was an issue in the previous, what tasks had a challenge or an issue, are those challenges still existing or those challenges have been resolved and we have moved further or forward into our progress in the project implementation. The next part of the purpose of tracking is to modify the schedule or plan in case of changes or in case of unforeseen circumstances, and communicate these changes to all the concerned stakeholders related to the project. The next objective or purpose of tracking is to detect new risks, unforeseen risks at the beginning that we could not see, but we are able to see now as the implementation has progressed, and also to identify new critical areas as and when they come up. The next part or purpose of the tracking is to assign responsibility for new areas or new tasks. Issues that are not getting resolved or issues that are continuing to stay with us in the part of the implementation, what do we need to, how do we escalate this to higher management for their inputs and decisions? There could be some issues that need to be escalated to the customer for the customer's input and direction. So we need to identify those issues. We also use the tracking meetings and the review meetings to acknowledge achievements and contributions made by team members who have made a contribution to towards the completion of the task and or removal of the challenges and or meeting the risks that were associated with the project. And last point is to capture the lessons that we have learned during this period and document the same for future use and for understanding how this can impact the projects in future. Now, why do projects get delayed? There are a number of reasons why projects may get delayed. Many elements, everything when we are planning a project is not possible for the person to foresee and plan a contingency in advance. So projects get delayed because we have unrealistic deadlines put in by people who do not understand the complete software development process. So if we have deadlines that have been designed or defined by people who do not understand the complete software development process, then we may get unrealistic deadlines. Two, changing requirements, which keep adding to the tasks and which keep changing the system and the design of the software solution, can add to the project outcomes and therefore delay the project. Then underestimation of the effort in terms of time or in the number of resources required to do the job can also reduce the pace at which the project is being implemented, thereby creating a delay. Then predictable tasks that were considered during the planning period, but where we have not achieved the plan, the actual is not as per the plan, can delay the project. Unplanned risks or unpredictable risks that were not foreseen at the time of the planning process, which creep up in the implementation, can delay the project further. And then technical difficulties that were not foreseen at the time of starting the project could also further delay the project. So these are reasons why projects get delayed. Then you have human difficulties in terms of unforeseen personal issues of the implementation team. For example, skills unavailability, unavailability of the right resources, or team members taking leave due to personal circumstances and reasons, or attrition rate of the team members can lead to delay of the project. Then delays could be also be caused by miscommunication of information between project staff, or delay in communication of the right information between project staff, and lack of timely corrective action on the project if top people or project managers are traveling or are out on company work. So this would also further cause delays in the project implementation stage. Having understood possible reasons why delays happen, we can now try and look what to track in the review meeting or under the tracking mechanism. So tracking a project typically involves very careful understanding of what has been done so far and what needs to be done in the future. So what do we try to track in the project implementation phase? We try to track the tasks that were scheduled during the period. We review them and what is their status with reference to the schedule. So we first check the schedule of or the status of each and every task with respect to the schedule. To till date, we may not look at the tasks that are going to start in the future. We also track the cumulative of the tasks that have been completed till date or from the last review. We also check the dependency of the tasks with earlier period phase and the dependency this task will create in the future implementation of the project. Okay. We check the preparedness and the readiness to start the next phase or the next set of tasks. Then we try to analyze the effort and cost that has been spent on the tasks taken so far and completed on during the time till date, and check them with the actuals that have been check them with the what has been planned in terms of the budget for them. Then comparison of the cost and effort with respect to budgeted effort and cost with a variance analysis to understand why we are spending less or why we are spending more. Then critical items identified in the last tracking meeting. Where are we? What is the status of those critical items in this review meeting? Has action been initiated on them? And is there any progress on those critical items? Then the last thing that we try to check is resource availability, productivity, morale, and if anything else that needs to be done to buck up the resources to ensure implementation continues to be on track and on time. So let us look at what is estimated size. When we are planning the software project, the software development plan typically contains estimates of each and every module and each and every activity that needs to be done as a part of the project implementation. So while we have the estimates which have been developed at the time of planning the project, while we are doing the project, a methodology should be put in place to actually measure what is the, you know, real input that is going into making that module or completing that activity. The comparison of the actual estimate, the actual work done versus the estimates, gives us an idea of how accurate is our planning process, and the actual inputs or the actual work that has been done can be then used for future projects for estimating the size and cost of future projects. Okay, now actual size numbers can be accumulated by a different process so that they can be put as a part of the tracking process. Very important to do that. Now, planned work versus actual work. This is one of the easiest and the most commonly used method of what is called tracking. When the project is estimated and scheduled, a certain production rate is assumed. But when the project starts happening, the production rate that has been assumed can either be exceeded or can be reduced based on different extenuating circumstances relating to the project. Okay. Now, tracking the expected work completed as per resources expended gives us a check on whether the valid production rate is same or higher or lower. And basis that, we can then get into, other estimates based on the same production rate should be then called into question. So, if we have assumed a certain production rate and on the basis of that, we find out during the review meeting what the actual production rate is, we should revise the the further work that is planned in the project on the basis of the actual production rate that is happening in the project. Now, factors that can affect the output of the project in terms of the speed, in terms of the outcomes, is as follows. First, work is more complex than what we have expected at the time of planning the project. That's the first reason that can affect the output. Secondly, we have put software developers and software engineers on the project. Their learning curve could be slower than what we have assumed. Their learning curve could be either higher or slower than what we have assumed at the time of planning. The actual performance of the tools that we are going to use in the software development process versus the expected tool performance are different. There is more complex logistics or communications than what we planned at the time of the project. Then over optimism for a new process or a new technology that has come in, thinking that this will hasten things up, and that has not actually happened. Then, in general, changing the tool or the process in the middle of the project typically does not impact the production rate much. It may actually hamper the project implementation. But if the project is running for a long enough period, it is possible to overcome the learning curve as well as overcome the delays that may have occurred in the course of implementing the project till date. Now, planned versus actual dates. You know, the question over here is analysis of the timeline of the project helps us to understand how are we doing in terms of the dates, the actual dates of implementation versus the planned dates of implementation. The question is, are all dependencies being met? And can, you know, expecting the dates to improve without taking an action, will that happen? No, that will not happen. Therefore, planned versus actual resources, we are trying to do an analysis of this variance and seeing how the project can be put back on track. Okay. Now, size estimates, work estimates, activity estimates, production rates, dependencies planned at the beginning of the project, have been planned at the beginning of the project. In spite of the plan, are we still missing the dates and the deadlines? Reasons could be many. Our estimates could be correct, yet the developers are not spending the correct hour, the expected hours on the project, either because there's failure to hire the right resources or there's a high turnover rate of the resources. There are priority conflicts. So you have resources working on multiple projects and there is a priority conflict on that. Then you have unscheduled vacations, sick time or company shutdowns or, you know, power problems or, you know, floods or something that prevent things from happening on time. The other reason where the planned versus actual is not happening is because of new or change requirements. Now, one of the elements that impacts tracking in a big way is constant changes in the scope and constant changes in the estimates and constant changes in the team management. So tracking how and when requirements change can predict the further changes in the project and the new deadlines can be worked out accordingly. Now this can reflect on the requirement gathering process. We need to have better control methods to see that change is, you know, as minimal as possible. Did we, you know, at the beginning also select the correct development model? Is the, you know, waterfall method the best or the object-oriented methodology the best? We may not be correct at the time of the plan. We typically need to have a model that is flexible and facilitates the change process as we move into the implementation and as customer requirements keep changing and changing the scope of work for the project. Other things that we need to track is if the project has significant costs other than direct labor. So one of the major costs in the software project, in fact, the most significant cost in the software project is the cost of the skilled manpower. If there are other elements of the project that have a significant contribution to the cost, then those costs should be tracked. And you should be looking at both the price and the quantity of work that is happening of the other costs. On an important basis. So you need to see both the parameters to understand the impact. Now, prerequisite of a good tracking system is accurate information. Now, tracking typically requires a lot of accurate information, which is where the role of the MIS is of utmost importance. The MIS will therefore capture information in terms of what we want to track, you know, how we want to track, its format, its frequency, its form, the data points that need to be understood and, you know, put into the tracking MIS that will help managers to understand the progress of the project and take corrective action accordingly. Now, the another important part of the MIS is objective reporting is very, very important. Now, if, for example, we have a large software project where a team of 100 programmers or 200 programmers is working on different parts of the project, then tracking what all the 100 or 200 programmers are doing is a very complex and difficult job. Therefore, during tracking meetings, each and every programmer and all teams which are assigned to these activities should report the number of programs that have got completed last week. What is the cumulative number of programs completed? What is the balance number of programs required to be completed? And what is the status of the incomplete task? Then available time and therefore new asking rate for development. While this sounds very simple, every programmer may have a different perspective of what is completed and what is incompleted. For example, a programmer may say that he's completed 5 programs in this phase and a total of 15 programs till date. When these 15 programs that are completed are analyzed, it is found that 5 programs have bugs which need to be removed, 5 programs have to be documented. So in actual or in effect, only 5 programs are really fully complete. Therefore, when we are working on a large team with a large project, it is not possible to get so many details to verify what is really complete. Okay? Therefore, it is a good practice to have a standard definition of what is complete and what is incomplete as a part of the MIS. For example, it would be a good idea to define a complete software program with sub-parameters, like where the coding of the complete program is completed, the program has been tested, bugs in the software have been identified and removed, and documentation of the module is complete. Similar definitions of other elements of the MIS can help create a uniform picture of the project status and improve the tracking effectiveness to a very large extent. So going further into our journey of tracking, let us understand the role of metrics. It is very important to measure different aspects and parameters of the project in order to understand what is actually completed so that we can track the progress of the project. The measures which help us in judging the various dimensions of the project are called metrics. What metrics do we normally measure? We measure the size, effort, time, cost, quality, people are the areas in which we try to, understand parameters that identify the status of every activity of the project. It is obvious that all the metrics that are used as a measure are some aspect of the project or its implementation. Now, project leaders who are in charge of different projects should aim at creating the appropriate metrics so that the right elements and right parameters of each and every activity in the project is measured. The first thing that we need to measure is the size of every activity. Now, to judge if the scope of the project has been changed or the scope of the activity that we have estimated is correct or inaccurate, okay? Then second thing is the effort, to judge the amount of the effort that we have to put in vis-a-vis the plan. Time is to judge, are we on time, is every activity happening as per time, or we are slipping on time or going ahead of time. Cost, what is the cost incurred versus planned and what is the reason for that variance. Okay. Quality, determine the software programs and modules are of the right quality with the least amount of bugs, with the least amount of mistakes and errors, and deliver the necessary functionalities. Then people parameters like performance, absenteeism, productivity, attrition, etc. So these could be some of the metrics that could be identified as a part of tracking the project, and also will become an input to the review meeting of the project. Now, the purpose of generating all this information is to be able to benchmark the project with other similar projects and done in the past, and also to use this information in the future for estimating the size and effort of a new project. Such benchmarking therefore helps us in ensuring that the process involved in the project are working well as per the organization's expected levels, and our planning process of the project is sound. One very important parameter of tracking is to relate the tracking mechanism to the big picture or the overall goal of the project. While it is important to do the planned versus actual analysis for each and every activity, it is also important to look at the overall completion and compare it to the overall goal of the project. Now, the project goal or a vision is a document which gives the basic purpose of undertaking the project. And therefore, it is important that in every review meeting, we are tracking and monitoring whether we are actually contributing to the overall goal of the project or overall functionality of the project. Tracking and reviews, therefore, should indicate what percentage of the project has moved towards achieving its overall goal rather than every activity and sub-activity goal. This is very, very crucial, because in the process of reviewing hundreds of multiple activities within the project, one may get carried away by the sheer amount of work done as an activity and may not be able to link this to the goals or the outcomes. The review meeting is as much a review of the activity as also the review of the outcomes achieved. Okay? Corrective action that needs to be taken by the project manager in the form of ensuring completion of the functions or the functionalities of each activity towards the fulfillment of the project goal is very important part of the connecting to the big picture. One very important aspect of tracking occurs in the form of milestones. A typical software project is divided into stages, and each stage could be a logical stage. So, for example, one could be scoping the, putting the complete scope of work in place. So that could be one activity prior to the starting of the project. Now, at the end of the scoping exercise, there could be a review meeting. It's a milestone achieved in the project. So there could be a review meeting to understand if we have captured all the elements of activity and all the things that we need to do as a part of the scope of work. So that could be a milestone. Now, milestones and milestone reviews are an important part of the project. So milestones are an important part of the project implementation, and milestone reviews are an important part of the project tracking mechanism. Typically, milestones are identified at the planning stage, and it is a logical end of one part of the project, and therefore it is a good idea to take a step back, review what has been done so far in the project, review the actual versus plan and the variance analysis of what has been done so far, and then recalibrate the project going forward in terms of what should be the asking rate or what should be the cost and time budgets for the further phases of the project, so that we remain on track as far as this project is concerned. Milestones are also linked to customer deliverables such as sign-offs or logical points of ending one phase and logical starting point of another phase, and may also be linked to payments that the customer has to make to the service provider or the software developer, and therefore are important part of the cash flow process of the customer of the service provider. A milestone therefore is an appropriate point in the project for actually conducting a major review of the entire project completed till date. Typically, as is the industry practice, most project managers will plan an elaborate review at the completion of each milestone, which could be very detailed, which will take into account all the past completion that has happened, will analyze all the information that has been generated by the project so far in terms of plan versus actual and the variance and the reasons for its variance. Will also measure the accuracy of our forecast till date. Wherever there's a deviation in our forecast in terms of planned production rates or the ask rate or the achieved rates, the achieved rates of the past implementation phases will be used to recalibrate the project further going forward. This recalibration is important so that we remain realistic in our understanding of what can be done and what cannot be done, and the timelines as such are adjusted to this new asking rate. If the new asking rate requires additional resources to be added to the project or resources to be reassigned or reallocated to different parts of the project, those kind of decisions are facilitated by the review of the milestone review. All the failures that we have experienced so far are also captured and analyzed, and what have we learned from those failures, all the risks that the project has uncovered so far. So every phase of the project getting over and every milestone completion also will herald that certain risks inherently move out of the project. So analysis of which risks are moving out and which risks still remain is also gives an idea of what could be the future, what could be expected in future. Milestones also used to celebrate completion of the milestone, the contribution made by various members of the implementing team, as well as understanding where are the possible shortfalls and how these could be plugged going forward in the implementation of the project. Now, related to the milestone review is another concept called the asking rate. Okay? Now, project managers, in order to keep the project on track, must be constantly aware of the asking rate for the project. Now, the best way to define the asking rate is, you know, what is it that we require to do on a per day, per week basis so that the backlog and the remaining work in the project is completed in the defined timeline. So, asking rate demands more numbers of tasks during the balance amount of time, and asking rate in a software project can be achieved by adding more people to the project or increasing the automation level that is being used in the project so far. This is, you know, like a one-day game of cricket. I mean, if you have a limited overs cricket game happening, so every time you complete an over, you have an asking rate for the what has to be, how many runs have to be, you know, done in the balance overs to achieve the targeted number of runs to win the game. Now, changing the asking rates requires strategizing, re-resourcing and replanning many elements of the project. And it is important to track the asking rate so that, you know, we ensure that the project is completed on time. Now, the project leader therefore must focus on how to achieve the overall plan. When does a project manager consider rescheduling and reassigning activities in the overall project plan? When analysis convinces the project manager that the current plan is, you know, got outdated, it's not viable, he should reconsider rescheduling as an option and work on new ask rates in future. Now, another element or another thing that the tracking throws up is productivity. Now, productivity is your ability to do, productivity is defined as, you know, getting a certain amount of output from a certain amount of input. For the same amount of input, if we can increase the output, then our productivity has increased. Okay, so productivity is a parameter that the project manager should leverage in order to help facilitate the completion of the project. Now, in the software industry, output is measured by the number of computer programs that have been completed, and the input is measured by the total number of the computer programs that need to be completed. Then man hours and man months could be another typical measure of input in the software industry. Now, productivity can be increased by either increasing the output for the same level of input or reducing the input for the same level of output. So, these two measures can improve the productivity. In general, the productivity can be improved for this, increasing the level of output for the same level of input can be done through the following methods. Because software is so manpower driven, one method can be by improving the motivation, by giving higher incentives and, you know, increasing the facilities that are, you know, given to the team that is making or doing the project. Then secondly, it can be improved by training, by, you know, improving the skill levels of the people involved. Thirdly, it can be improved by using new tools and techniques, new software tools and new software techniques. The fourth one can be done by automation. These four factors or these four methods can be used for improving the productivity of the manpower. Approvals for improving the productivity need to be planned at the start of the project so as to improve the implementation rate or the ask rate of the project. Okay? Now, reducing the effort usually means trying to reduce the waste in the process. For instance, documentation activities at times delay the project work. So, reducing the effort means how can we reduce the waste in the process. Now, following, what are the areas of waste in a typical software project? Now, it could be unplanned absenteeism. Then it could be unplanned breaks. It could be poor quality of work which requires a lot of rework. Then too many, unplanned meetings and reviews coming up constantly. Or too much of top management, MIS requirements for the project, or too much of data that the customer may be asking related to the project. So, systematically eliminating these wastes will substantially improve the productivity of the entire team, thereby, you know, keeping or helping to keep the project on the design timelines. One typical area that tracking also has to work on is managing risk. We learned about risk and risk management in our previous chapter, and the success of a project manager typically depends on his ability to discover and uncover risks well ahead of the project or well ahead of the occurrence in the project. The tracking meeting is a rich source of information on potential risks that could put the project off schedule or off track. Now, project team members who are performing various tasks or who are involved in the implementation of the project are very keenly aware of the risks that they can be facing or that are emerging on a continual basis. Now, the usual tendency of the project implementation team members is to keep quiet in the hope that, you know, the risks will be taken care of and things will be sorted out on their own. Many people also psychologically do not want to convey the risks, thinking that, you know, their ability to handle the risk will be questioned. But that's not the way it should be. You should table whatever risks you foresee in the implementation, in each and every phase of the implementation of the project, so that the project manager, has a clue, has a hang of them, has his hands on them, and the team collectively can take corrective actions to resolve them. It is important for the project manager to create a culture of openness and sharing so that potential problems and risks are identified and corrective action can be easily taken at every stage of the project implementation stage. Once the risks are identified, you know, the risk reduction task is assigned to one team member or additional resources are called in to handle the risk. All such risks must be included in the subsequent tracking meetings so as to ensure that the risks are understood, the risks are identified, and the risks are managed successfully by the project management team. So that is very, very crucial that we do it that way. Let's look at one more point which helps in the tracking of the project is escalation and escalation matrices. Okay. Things that are beyond the control of the team member or things that go beyond the control of the implementation people require attention or inputs either from the top management or sometimes even from the customer. And whenever these attention or these points of attention are identified and communicated upwards, these are called escalations. Now, escalation paths are important to create escalation method and escalation paths in the project implementation plan that allows the team members to escalate things beyond their control to the people who have the authority to resolve them or act on them. Now, escalations help to remove any deadlock situations or any point at which the project is stuck for lack of information or input from the other side. And therefore, these deadlock situations can delay the project and hence timely action on them is mandatory. Escalation meetings should be typically taken or held on the same day or within a day of the tracking meeting so as to quickly take action, resolve the issue and, you know, put the project going forward. Delay in taking escalation meetings and resolve them can badly affect the productivity and the output of the team. Now, it is very important to have a well-defined escalation matrix so that issues that could possibly prevent the project from being implemented on time or achieving its deadlines are quickly removed and quickly obliterated from the system. Also, it is crucial in the escalations to focus on the project and rather than using it for complaining and or using it as a blame game to find a fault or find a scapegoat. Our objective is not to find a fault and not to find a scapegoat, but to resolve the issue and ensure that the project continues to remain on track. Well-managed escalations can be a healthy route to resolve conflict and prioritize issues in managing the project towards its completion. Very important to remember that for escalations. One more important analysis that can be done as a part of the tracking is called the earned value analysis. Now, this is one of the most advanced techniques that is used for project tracking. Now, earned value method is a analysis of or a method of judging the progress of the project based on actual cost incurred up to the day of tracking versus the planned cost up to the day of tracking. So, it actually very carefully measures the cost, or it measures the effort in terms of time. Now, cost is used as a surrogate measure for the value earned by the project. Now, the budgeted cost of the project indicates the value earned at the end of the project expressed in cost units, rupees or dollars. So, thus a project which is moving slower than planned would not have spent the planned amount at any given stage of the project. It could also happen that the project is meeting the schedule but is ending up spending more, and therefore that could be inefficient way of managing the project, or actually points to inefficiencies in the project management methodology. Both these variances are a way of judging the performance of the project. Now, this is just mentioned for your information, as earned value analysis is not in the scope of your subject, but is just indicated as an advanced technique of tracking projects. One important thing that the tracking mechanism throws up is motivating the project team. So, tracking is an important way to motivate the team. It also gives the team members an idea of what is completed and what is remaining on hand. Sometimes while doing the daily activity, our focus is so much on implementing the project that we really don't take a pause and understand how much of it has been completed. So, sometimes taking that review meeting which gives us an insight into how much is completed is a parameter that helps us to keep the team motivated, and also is a parameter which keeps the team members motivated on their own. Sharing and openness is very, very necessary during tracking meetings. It is very important that we don't point fingers at others and blame other people and use it as a method to find scapegoats to fix the people. We have to fix the problem and not the people. Okay? Our objective is to resolve the issue rather than who made the mistake. This can actually go a long way in getting the teams committed to the project, teams committed to the deadlines, and teams motivated or charged up and motivated to complete the project on time. In fact, offering a completion bonus to the team on which completes the project within time and budget, this thing could be another way to keep the team motivated for the budget. Now, what could be, having done all these activities and understood all these concepts regarding tracking, what could be the outcome of tracking? So, by the end of each tracking meeting, what is the deliverable, or what comes out as an understanding? Okay, by the end of each tracking meeting, the project team and the project manager have a good understanding of the current status of the project, have a good understanding of what was the performance of the people and the project in the period that was under review, have a very good understanding of the balance work that is remaining, have a clear idea of the risks that have gone out of the project and new risks that have entered the project and how are they likely to emerge in the near future. There is clarity on the actions to be taken further and who's responsible for it. There is also clarity in the change in the scope of work. There is clarity on who will handle those changes and implement those changes. What are the key learnings from the project till date? The success of the project tracking meeting can be therefore judged by the amount of time it takes to track, the time it takes to understand the issues, the status, and the time needed to resolve these issues. How many issues were tabled in the meeting and how many issues were actually resolved in the review meeting? How many risks were uncovered and discussed threadbare in the meeting, and a methodology evolved to handle them and contain them? How charged up is the team to take the new challenges, to do the right thing, to implement the balanced project? So, this is a very important outcome of tracking. In summary, this chapter deals with the systematic tracking of project implementations. Tracking is trying to understand the progress that has been made in the project with respect to the plan that has been created for the project at the time of beginning the project. Tracking needs careful inspection, follow-up, and lots of information, and hence MIS and accurate data and the right data points are a critical element of the tracking mechanism. Project managers need to rely on a lot of metrics to understand the progress of the project. It is important for the project managers to evolve a common understanding of what are the key project milestones, key project metrics, and what is the definition of this, so that the entire team understands it in the same context and applies it in the same context. The earned value method of tracking is a method of judging the progress of a project based on actual cost incurred versus the planned cost. Tracking is successful if issues, challenges, risks are discussed and resolved during the course of the meeting. This completes our chapter on tracking. Thank you for your time and attention, and hope you had a nice learning experience in this chapter. See you for the next chapter. Thank you.